Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book How to Menopause by Tamsin Fadahl is a 2025 nonfiction guide focused on perimenopause and menopause, written for readers who want a clear, practical, and medically informed understanding of this stage of life, blending Fadahl's personal experience as a midlife woman with reporting and expert interviews. The book is structured as an accessible handbook rather than an academic text. Its central purpose is to help women recognize symptoms earlier, understand what is happening in their bodies, and make better decisions about care, treatment, and daily habits. The book also addresses the social confusion surrounding menopause, including the common problem of symptoms missed as stress, aging, or unrelated health issues. By combining science-backed advice with an approachable tone, it aims to reduce uncertainty and give readers a framework for self-advocacy, symptom management, and long-term health planning. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a symptom map for the many forms menopause can take. One of the book's most important contributions is its emphasis on symptom recognition. Menopause is often reduced to hot flashes alone, but Fadahl presents it as a much broader hormonal transition that can affect sleep, mood, weight distribution, libido, cognition, skin, and hair. This matters because many women do not realize that the changes they are experiencing belong to the menopause transition, especially during perimenopause when symptoms can appear unevenly and be mistaken for work stress, burnout, or ordinary aging. The book's value lies in making symptoms legible. Once readers can connect a pattern of changes to a hormonal cause, they are better positioned to seek appropriate help rather than dismissing their own experience. This framing also changes the emotional burden of the transition. Confusion and self-doubt are replaced with a more concrete understanding of what is happening and why. Secondly, how the book turns menopause into a medical advocacy issue. A major theme is the need for self-advocacy in healthcare. The book argues that many women enter midlife in systems that are not consistently prepared to evaluate menopause well, which can lead to underdiagnosis, vague reassurance, or treatment that does not address the full picture. Fadahl responds by showing readers how to ask better questions, describe symptoms clearly, and seek clinicians who are knowledgeable about midlife women's health. This is not just about confidence. It is about improving outcomes through more precise communication. The book treats advocacy as a practical skill, encouraging readers to understand baseline care, screenings, and the limits of one-size-fits-all advice. That approach is important because menopause care often requires individualized decisions, and patients who can articulate their concerns are more likely to receive useful guidance. The book therefore functions as both an educational resource and a tool for navigating medical encounters more effectively. Thirdly, hormone therapy and non-hormonal options presented as individualized choices. The book does not present menopause treatment as a single solution. Instead, it explains that hormone therapy can be helpful for some readers, while others may need non-hormonal prescriptions, supplements, or lifestyle changes. This balanced treatment is significant because menopause discussions are often polarized, with treatment framed either as universally necessary or universally risky. Fadahl's approach is more practical. The right option depends on symptoms, medical history, and personal priorities. The book also reflects current menopause conversations by noting that many women need more than one intervention at a time. For example, someone may need help with sleep, another with mood or brain fog, and another with vaginal discomfort or libido changes. By treating options as modular rather than absolute, the book helps readers think in terms of symptom targets and risk-benefit trade-offs. That makes the content more useful than a generic wellness guide, because it acknowledges that treatment decisions in midlife are often complex and highly individual. Fourthly, lifestyle guidance tied to concrete menopause-related changes. The book devotes substantial attention to daily habits because menopause often affects quality of life in ways that medicine alone does not fully solve. It discusses nutrition, strength training, sleep routines, stress management, skincare, and practical adjustments for issues such as belly fat, dry skin, and hair loss. The strength of this section is that it does not treat lifestyle advice as generic self-improvement. Instead, it links specific habits to known midlife concerns, such as preserving bone and muscle health, supporting sleep quality, and maintaining energy. This makes the advice more credible and actionable than broad wellness language. The book also avoids presenting these changes as cosmetic only. Appearance changes are framed as part of a broader bodily transition that can affect confidence and daily functioning. By connecting routines to symptoms, the book shows how small, consistent changes can complement medical care and help readers regain a sense of control over their bodies and schedules. Lastly, reframing menopause as a transition with relational, professional, and personal implications. Beyond symptom management, the book treats menopause as a life stage transition with effects on identity, relationships, and work. It discusses communication with partners about libido changes, painful sex, and emotional strain, recognizing that hormonal shifts can affect intimacy in ways that are rarely discussed openly. It also acknowledges the workplace dimension, where symptoms may interfere with focus, confidence, or energy while remaining invisible to others. This broader framing is one of the book's distinguishing features because it moves menopause out of a purely clinical context and into everyday life. The message is not that menopause is easy, but that it can be navigated more effectively when its social consequences are addressed alongside its biological ones. Fadahl's tone consistently emphasizes knowledge, openness, and adaptation, which helps reposition menopause from a private problem to a shared and discussable stage of life. That wider lens makes the book relevant not only to individual readers, but also to partners and anyone supporting women in midlife. In conclusion, How to Menopause is best suited for women entering perimenopause, women already in menopause, and readers who want a structured, evidence-based explanation of symptoms and treatment choices. It is also useful for partners and family members who want to understand what the transition can involve, and for healthcare readers looking for a plain language overview of patient concerns. The book's main practical benefit is that it helps readers name symptoms, compare options, and prepare for more productive conversations with clinicians. Its intellectual value lies in the way it connects biology, daily habits, and social context without turning menopause into either a scare story or a simplistic wellness reset. Compared with many books in the category, it stands out for its journalistic organization, broad expert input, and emphasis on self-advocacy. It is less interested in abstract theory than in usable guidance, and that makes it especially strong for readers who want a reliable map through a confusing stage of life. The result is a book that is both educational and immediately applicable. If you would like to support Thompson Fadahl, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.